Welcome to this special summer holiday episode of The Undermine, where I have my guest Dave Churchill, and that's right, guest as in singular, because Dave is just too big of a personality and no one else can fit in there. Also, there is summer and actually everyone is on vacation. So, hi Dave, how are you?
Pretty good. Some of the things you just said were true.
Yes. That's generally how I present myself. There is like a 65% truth to anything I say. So we have a lot of topics to cover. First of all, let's get this out. It's a very sad thing. As you might have heard, that Jeff Robinson, or known as In Control, passed away last week. And he was a great guy. We shared many hobbies, not just StarCraft. I never got a chance to talk to him, but we will miss him dearly. So rest in peace, Jeff. I feel that needs to be said here.
Yeah, definitely. I remember seeing him back when I started watching StarCraft 2. He was always a really great caster.
Yeah, he was funny and smart. And I just found out that he also casted or commented on Warhammer 40k games, the tabletop game, which I kind of into that hobby as well, not really, just on some level, and so it's weird to find that out just now. So yeah, that's a very, very sad affair, especially with it being so sudden. All right, let's get back to the technical things and everything else. I don't think there is any more needs to be said on that. So, first of all, we have some news about the BW API 5, which is nearing its release. I just spoke to some very smart people on the project. I don't know, Dave, what is your relation to that? Do you work on the project, or do you consult with them or something?
I know absolutely nothing about BW API 5. I actually couldn't tell you anything about it. My only real relation to the project over the years has been if the Age tournament needs a specific feature, I would talk to Adam Heinerman about it, and he would usually implement it for me. But I actually don't have anything to do with it because I know so little about all that bit shifting stuff and how the API actually works.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. I have the same amount of knowledge about that, generally speaking. So I have listed the key points, or rather Ninecat listed them for me. So the first point is, from a developer perspective, it looks the same as the 4.4 version, or just the 4.x version, which I think is a welcome addition, because the interface shouldn't change that much between versions. I mean, some changes are unavoidable, and that's okay, but let's try to keep the amount of work required to switch the minimum.
Do you know, like, what versions of the game it supports? Is that going to be, like, remaster or the same version or what?
Yeah, and the point is, it could support remastered, but it does not, because of the legal stance of that. The technical opportunity is there, but there is decidedly no remaster support until a decision is made by Blizzard on that front. At least that's my understanding. I apologize in advance if I if I'm not entirely correct in that. So it would be nice. The project is structured that way that it can support multiple versions, like 1.16 remastered and OpenBW as well.
Oh, that would be great.
And yes, so it can do it via a unified API. Also, the under the hood differences, all bots are client bots now, and communicating with the BW API backend via UDP or TCP. So you don't have to manage that part.
I wonder how that affects the speed of running things, because I know that the DLL bots were just a little bit faster, you know, directly communicating with the code of the game rather than having to message pass in any sort of way.
Yeah, definitely. But I think the most bots don't have a bottleneck there. That's not your performance bottleneck or any kind of, and it can be optimized away. And you can just batch your calls or something. I really don't think that will be any kind of issue.
Yeah, I don't think it will be any kind of issue for tournament play or like bot versus bot play, but say if you're running some experiment for a paper and you just need like the game to run single player as fast as possible, that's where it could possibly impact things, but it's not a huge deal.
Or maybe that, yeah, if you want to speed run games, so to speak, it can affect that. Usually, that's not the use case here. So, next point is what I'm just reading this natively supports all the languages that Protobuf supports. You just need to implement the UDP handshaking and TCP communication slash client side information processing slash storing. Though some optimal niceties, e.g., LATCOM live in the C++ front end. I don't have much knowledge about Protobuf. I don't know about you, Dave.
No, I don't have much knowledge either. Just kind of the basics of what it does. Just communicates via socket.
So, very Protobuf, much improvement. That's all I can say. Next point is lets your bot run on a different OS than the game itself, and this is a huge point, I think. So you can play games on Windows while running a bot in Linux or outside, for example, SC Docker, and this is very nice. And there has been a requests from time to time to do this. I think that's an improvement.
Yeah, definitely. It also could be interesting. Maybe you could have a server running somewhere where bots could just connect versus having to submit a bot or something like that.
It would make it easier, yes. Anything that standardizes or streamlines this bot making process can be a huge help. Because yeah, it's not like uploading a bot is so difficult or anything. But yeah, that would be great. So the will eventually let you compile one bot that can run against either OpenBW or 1.16. Well, that's basically nothing, not much I can add here. And there would be BWAPI 5 backwards compatibility. It is planned for BWAPI 4 and 3 versions. So that eventually tournament organizers can just run one BWAPI server side. Again, this is a very great addition, I believe. What do you think as a tournament organizer yourself?
For the new version of BWAPI?
Well, yeah, and backwards compatibility and everything.
Well, for the aid tournament software, the backwards compatibility isn't a really big factor because we can just include support for the new API or the old APIs. That's just a configuration option. So it doesn't make our life really more or less difficult.
Next point is tournament modules are changed to tournament clients, allowing any logic being run there, such as auto OBS camera control, can be run at the same time that the client bot runs its code. This is a huge quality of life improvement.
Yeah, we'll have to see if any of the changes they're making affect. I can't see them affecting it, but if they somehow lose compatibility to play against other versions of bots, but I can't see that happening because it's two completely separate machines. So, yeah, everything should be strictly better with the new version of WEPI.
Well, in the end, you need to be compatible with StarCraft, to be honest, because if you communicate, that's the common denominator. So I don't think that's being a problem as well.
Yeah, all the changes sound great so far.
Yeah, this is more like community service. I was curious about your opinion as well, but most of these points I just view as a welcome additions, but don't have any strong opinions either way about them.
Well, like I said, my opinion on it is kind of neutral right now because I haven't seen it working, but also because the the tournament manager itself is kind of version agnostic. So it's it probably won't affect how we run things unless there's some crazy new features in the future.
And speaking of tournaments, let's talk about your new ladder, which you announced a few months back, right here on this very podcast. So if you want, dear listeners, if you want juicy insider information, you should listen to this podcast. Although if you are hearing this, you're already listening, so I don't know who I want to recruit with this. Anyway, what about your new ladder?
So over the past few months, we've been working on this. Essentially, what it is a web page front end where you can log in, sort of like the student StarCraft AI tournament, but not as feature rich, where you can just log in, create an account. The way we've set it up right now is that if you want to have multiple bots compete, you can, but each bot is going to require a separate account. So you're going to sign up with a username, and that username will be the bot. And then you can have multiple accounts, each having the same email address, for example. So if I have UAlbertaBot 1 through 10, well, that will be 10 separate accounts, and I can have the same email address registered for each one. And what we're planning right now, because scheduling and all that sort of stuff, scheduling games is probably the hardest part about all of it. So we're just going to have it where you upload a bot, and then maybe like once a week, like on a Sunday or something, we'll start a new week of the ladder or a new 2 weeks of the ladder or something like that. So we've got a URL floating around. I posted it to the Facebook group and I believe to Discord, where you can help us test the ladder website right now, where you can go create an account and you can upload your files and then we'll run some games. But right now, I believe our university where we're hosting it actually had a power. They have power restarts pretty often, like once a week or more. So I think the server is actually down right now because of a power restart.
I will include the link in the post about the podcast.
That may not be like the final version, but of the URL, but this is where we have it for testing right now. So anyone who wants to log in and break it, just please do so, because we're looking for testers.
Yeah.
And ideally, we'll also be able to use this as the system for submitting bots for the aid tournament. But we'll also have email submissions open for this year as well.
What kind of bots are supported and what BWAPI versions are supported?
So the ladder itself is literally just a web page front end to the exact same tournament manager software. So picture it as you upload a bot to the website and we start a new aid competition once a week. And so anything that's supported by the current tournament manager software, which is pretty much all versions except for like minor deprecated versions. So 3.7.4, 4.4, 4.3, or 4.2, like most of the versions. Anything that's supported by 8 is supported by this. Because, like I said before, this is just a completely separate web page where you can upload files, and then we run a tournament with the files on specified times, regular intervals. And so if you're familiar with the tournament managing software, we're going to be open sourcing all of this, so you could run your own ladder if you wanted to with this software.
Did you think about not supporting older versions on purpose as to force players to update?
No, we haven't thought of that, because it would actually be work. Not a lot of work, but it would be work to not support those things. So why do extra work for less features?
Well, that's an understandable viewpoint. And will there be broadcasts of this, or can we download the replays?
The replays will be available, but we have no plans to stream or comment on replays. But all the replays will be, should be available. if we get it to work properly, which it should because it's using the same tournament manager software, you should also be able to, on the website, see like who's playing who currently and download those replays, and you can stream them or cast them if you want. We just have no plans to set up a stream. Because the one thing that makes this different from, say, the student StarCraft AI tournament is that these games are played as fast as possible, just like the tournament. And so there would be no point to stream it because they'd be playing, you know, at like 1,000 frames a second or however fast they can play.
So I get this distinct impression that this is more of an academic research or a data gathering project than it is for entertainment value.
Yeah, there's no entertainment value here. It's just if you want your bot to play against existing bots throughout the year, you can do that, and they'll be played as fast as possible, so you can get more testing time in.
Did you get any kind of inspiration or support or collaboration from the Basil ladder?
No, there's been no collaboration on that.
Because that's kind of similar to this.
Yeah, I remember talking to, I can't remember their name now, the person running that. And
it's Bytekeeper.
Oh yeah, Bytekeeper, sorry. And no, there's been no like official collaboration on those. But anyone who wants to run a ladder or who wants to use our software is more than welcome to take our software afterwards and modify it and do what they want with it.
So you mentioned, let's imagine that this as an aid that is running once a week. Will there be some kind of prizes?
No, we have no plans for prizes right now. This is strictly you upload a bot and want it to play as fast as possible.
Achievements?
No achievements. This is, like I said, you're just playing games as fast as possible. There's no bells and whistles, just a kind of nice-looking website.
Loot boxes? Custom skins?
See previous answer.
I tried to ask something really silly, but yeah, I mean, it's not that rare nowadays that games have loot boxes. So it's just, but you can't take away the bragging rights.
Yeah, like I said, it's all just trying to get people in there playing games as fast as possible, because we've had that feature request before, or we've had people ask us, hey, should you run more often, like tournaments more often? And so this kind of solves all of those problems without having to worry about any of the bells and whistles or, you know, DLC.
Oh, yeah. You should really add horse armor at some point, though.
Well, if anyone wants to implement it, we'll accept pull requests.
Be careful. And I'm curious that this is for AI research, as you are a very smart AI person. I believe that's your official academic title. I'm sorry, Doctor Very Smart AI Person. Is that right?
Yeah, that I have that on my door in my office.
Yeah, that figures. And can I ask what kind of research or academic pursuit are you doing currently or recently with that?
Oh, geez. Well, so right now I have 6 graduate students who are working with me. I can just list off their projects. 2 of them are graduating soon, hopefully. One of them is working on multi-agent reinforcement learning for swarm robotics. So we take a bunch of small robots with a bunch of objects. The robots can push the objects around, and reinforcement learning teaches them how to make certain patterns out of those objects. Another student is working on Prismata, which is a game that I developed the AI for. You can go to prismata.net to check that out. And what he is doing is the Prismata AI system uses some heuristic search, like alpha, beta, or Monte Carlo tree search, and all of those systems require some sort of state evaluation function. And so instead of using the hand-coded one that we did before, we're machine learning a new evaluation function. And the machine-learned one performs better than the hand-coded one that we had before. Another person is working on deep reinforcement learning for StarCraft II combat. So using the PySC2 environment, the machine learning environment for small group combat there. I can't remember what they're all doing. Two students are currently working on, they just started. So we don't have a project exactly right now, but using AI not as an online sort of make the AI smarter tool, but as an offline tool for game development. And so creators can use AI when they're doing things like creating levels or creating rule sets for games. So putting AI into the tools that make games as well. And the last student starts in September, so we'll figure out what they're doing at that point. And myself, most of my time goes into supervising those students. On the side, I've been doing a lot of game engine programming because I'm teaching a game engine programming course at the university. And so I feel like I should make my own game before I try and teach people how to make their own games. And so I've been improving that game engine for anticipation of teaching that course in the fall.
That is a really good approach to take, and I wholeheartedly agree that you should learn some things in the trenches and not just the theoretics of them. Do you get a lot of students interested in StarCraft? Do they just randomly knock on your door and inquire about StarCraft things?
Yeah, I've had a number of students do that. Less so recently, it seems that the number of people getting into StarCraft AI research has sort of declined. I think that DeepMind's fairly rapid progress with AlphaStar has sort of scared some people into entering the field because they think it's, just about to be solved or something like that. So I think overall, in terms of students wanting projects, there's a little bit less enthusiasm about getting into StarCraft specifically, but it's growing on the more general, I want to do game AI side. So as a supervisor of students, right now I'm kind of limited by A, the amount of funding that I have to actually take in new students, because at our university we have to pay each student, to live. So I'm kind of at the limit of my funding now. So I've had a number of students who would like to do projects in the area who I just personally can't supervise. And so I've tried to set them up with other professors at other places. Secondly, I only have so much brain, and it's really hard to split yourself between 10 different projects. Because it turns out that, when you do a little bit on 10 different projects, it feels like you're not doing much at all. And so I kind of miss, when I was a PhD student and just able to focus really deeply on one project, because that is just not possible at the professor level.
That's understandable. That's understandable. Supervising and guiding students is taking a lot of time, I believe. I have never done it, but I have supervised people before, and usually these kind of projects take a long time.
Yeah, it really depends on the student. Some students are very independent, some need more help getting started. Some come into the program with a lot of programming or AI experience, some come in with almost no experience, and it's really interesting. It's like a mix of teacher and babysitter and mentor.
So the student body is a little bit diverse. Do you get adult students getting into this with actual long-time working experience? Because that's a smaller percentage of students, but I was that at one point.
Did you say older students? I couldn't hear that adjective.
Yeah, adult. I can't pronounce that word for some reason
properly. Oh, adult.
Older, yes.
So it's a bit of a, how do I phrase this? I get a lot of emails from sort of random places around the world. I think anyone who is in a position to supervise graduate students who has a website gets at least one or two emails a week from people who just mass email everyone that exists saying that they, you know, they want to come from insert country here, especially to Canada or the US, in order to do their grad studies. So I get a lot of these generic, you know, hi, I am insert name here from insert country here, and I would like to do insert your topic of research here type of emails that you kind of just ignore after a while because there's just so many of them. And a lot of those people who sort of do those mass mailings, they have generally have been out of school for a while and are working. In amongst those emails are a few people who do generally are actually interested in your research, like they've actually read your website and aren't just mass mailing. So in the past few months, I've gotten two or three people who have been in industry for maybe 5 to 10 years who were interested in working on the topic that I'm working on and in coming to Canada. But like I said, unfortunately, I just don't have any more funding. It would be great to be able to take everyone, but sometimes you just can't. One of my graduate students is actually the same age as me. They were in they did their undergrad in mathematics finished about 10 years ago, and then went to industry, and then came back and is now a very good mature student and really independent. And I find that usually the older a student is, the harder working they are. So I wish I had more adult students. Well, they're all adults, but, you know, some students with more programming ability rather than just those coming straight out of undergrad.
Yeah, I can't help but imagine these emails, like these scam emails you get with broken English. Hello, Mr. David. I would like to science in Canada, please.
Well, it's more like, hello, Dr. Professor. I hope you are, you know, very well. And then there's an email that's about a page long. And literally half of it, like, it's like a Mad Libs. And where they filled in the blanks is all in a different font than the rest of the email. And you just see that and you ignore it because you know that the person has put absolutely no effort into it. So that's a tip for everyone out there. If you're going to write an email to a potential supervisor, make it very personal. Not like personal details about your love life, but make it obvious to the person you're emailing that you actually know what they're doing, and the email should be of relevance to that person. Because if it's completely generic, like I don't have time during the day to answer 10 emails to students that obviously put no time into them. So
I understand that appeal as well. Okay, so I wanted to ask that if there is an alpha star hype effect, but I think you answered that yes, there is some.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is double-edged sword, you know, where everything's a double-edged sword, but it's an easy phrase to make an analogy. Where the research area that you're in, you know, you were there kind of in the early days, and then as you help grow it to a mature state and convince people that it's worth working in, then it becomes like industry viable to do research in that area, like StarCraft has been. And everyone, like all the major companies, start working on it. And of course, as most people know, especially the bot programmers, if you're a bot programmer, you're usually like a team of size one who's been working for years just trying to get all the bugs out of their program. And then someone comes along with tens of millions of dollars to throw at the problem and has, you know, a team of professional software engineers and a team of professional AI researchers. And they make something really incredible. And there's this feeling of like, how do you ever catch up to that, right? So it's really great what they've done, but at the same time, they've made far more progress than anyone could have individually in a decade, right? So if you're a single person wanting to go into that field, you've either got to identify a new problem to solve, because you're just not going to make a bot that's better than theirs, right? It's impossible for a single person to do that.
What if I'm married?
Yeah, so when I say single, okay. I think most bot programmers maybe are single bot programmers, but that's for another time.
Oh, that's rude. Okay, I had to make this stupid joke, I'm sorry. And broadly speaking, and you don't have to name any names if you don't want to, was there any student that was from the SSE IT community, or the other way around, did any of your students that worked in this area become somewhat known bot authors in the after that?
You're asking if any of my students?
Yep.
Well, none of my students have graduated yet. I've only been a professor for actually less than 3 years. So none of them have, I mean, most of them have dabbled around with the API. I usually get them to look at it and kind of know what it is, especially Rick, who is, he's doing the StarCraft II AI research right now, but he's also the technical lead on the tournament manager. He's taken over the programming of that. And so he knows how it all works, but none of my students have actually tried to seriously develop a bot yet.
Well, you should encourage them to do so. Or maybe just threaten them with bad grades. That's always works.
Well, you know, ideally everyone will be coding bots, but they all have their own projects to work on. And like I said, it's not only that. It's if your only goal is to make a good StarCraft bot, and you are an individual, not single, an individual person with that goal in mind, that's fine if your goal is just to enter a tournament and have this be a hobby. But if your goal is to graduate with a thesis in AI, then you have to do something better than exists, right? And so for a master's student, that's a total of about a year and a half of programming, usually, because you have courses to work into your degree. And not only that, but you've got this, you know, you've got this really great AlphaStar bot and other StarCraft I bots like Cherry Pie or Sida, you know. How do you do something better that's better than those bots? And so when it comes to actually graduating, building a bot may not be the best way to go right now. Maybe you want to just solve a sub-problem or use the machine learning package or something. I don't know. But like building full bots is right now, as things have progressed to the state that they're at, it's a lot of effort for very little academic return.
I have you know.
Lots of hobby return, but.
I have you know that I programmed a bot for my graduation.
That's excellent, but it was probably a little while ago.
Yes, and it was just a bachelor's degree, so.
And I did too, right? But like I said, a lot of things have happened in the last 4 years that makes that less impressive.
And I think that most students want to do something that is theirs and as a whole project. So they don't really want to participate in something bigger and be in a cog in the machine, so to speak. And that's understandable, but people with working experience usually more accommodating to that kind of view.
Yeah, I'd say that's on average, that's accurate. Yeah.
And yeah, it's maybe this thesis thing is not as you said, maybe not the best way to go about this. That being said, there is a distinct lack of group bot development projects, or and that's not strictly true, but I don't know any project that such a person could just join, and it would be great if there were. I mean, you can contribute to some open source stuff like BWEM or BWEB.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, the reason people traditionally, from what I've seen, got into, say, BWAPI or bot programming for the competitions is that because they want to make something on their own. And there's been very few groups. And if there are groups, they're part of academic or industry submissions. Like, there's been Cherry Pie and Saida, and I think Iron at one point was part of some group. And in the very beginning, there was like Overmind, and but all of those have been part of institutions, right? So it's very, very. I can't name a bot where like two random people just. Two or more random people just said, let's make a bot together. I think people get into it to sort of test their own skills and put their own StarCraft knowledge and reap all the karma or whatever that comes out of the competition. And so it's traditionally been a sort of solo pursuit, I guess. And not only that, but, you know, if you do get people together, then how do you compete with the industry teams that are yeah. being paid to compete together, right? So it's, I don't know.
DeepMind is like Batman. They proved that the best superpower is money.
Well, it's not just money, right? It's not like pay to win where you just buy, you know, more hit points or something. They still had to come up with those ideas. But you're right in that without, like, the money is a necessary condition, not a sufficient condition. Because other companies threw money at it as well and didn't come up with the same thing, right? So you can't just, I know you're probably just joking, but you can't just say all they did was throw money at it because they did some pretty incredible AI as well.
Yeah, like I said, assume that I'm I'm not telling the truth and joking. I really respect the academic and other achievements of the Alpha Stars team. That needs to be said. But what I'm referring to is they had the funding and the time and the bright minds together to do this right. And that's not a problem. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think it's unfair or anything. Why would it be? It's just not everyone can do that.
Yeah, and I mean, they're also in a place to just have more experience working on it, right? Like people on that team, they've got StarCraft pros that they can play against. I mean, Oriol, who's leading the project, was a former StarCraft pro. They've got a lot of really great AI researchers. They've got and as anyone making a bot will tell you, the biggest problem is the software engineering. Like, UAlbertaBot was something like 20,000 lines of code, and I had to write that myself while doing a thesis. Well, it was built on code from before other people helped me, but a lot of, like, over the years, rewriting all that code just took months and months of time. And if you've got AI ideas for a bot, and all you want to do are throw those into a bot, well, you've got months before you actually see anything at the other end, versus if you just have like an AI person and a software engineer, having two people makes progress way more than twice as fast, right? Because you've got someone who can actually implement the stuff and is probably a better programmer than you. And you've got specialization is the key to everything in society, right? You can't do just a little bit of everything and hope to be successful. You have to do something really well. And so they put a lot of people who did something really, really well together, and out came something really impressive. Go ahead.
You just have to be the very best goddamn bird lawyer in the world.
Exactly.
And yes, I couldn't agree more. The whole is more than the sum of its parts. I believe that's how the saying goes. And as a programmer myself, I can be prone to tunnel vision. And sometimes just rubber ducking out your ideas can help tremendously. Even with a non-programming person, just someone who responds with somewhat intelligent questions about your project can help a tremendous amount.
Not only that, but especially in the software world, there are some problems that some people on their own just can't solve. Right? It's not like we have a bunch of bricks and we need to move those bricks from point A to point B, and therefore having more people makes it faster. You know, one person could do it on their own. It just takes a lot longer. But in software, it could be the case that like no one person could ever have all the skills possible, right? So if you gave me 100 years and the same amount of money, there's no way I could do what they did because, you know, I'm shit with hardware. I don't know the machine learning. So putting all those specialties together is just a really great way to succeed. And the kind of sad thing about all that is, like, look at what they did, right? And how good it was. Like, Alvazar is pretty impressive. It's not beating the world champion yet. It's not playing on multiple maps as far as I know yet, but it's still pretty impressive. And so just look at how far we could have been if everyone was working together from the start, right? I did some consulting with Blizzard. I did some consulting with DeepMind. I did some with Facebook. And while I was at all of those places, one of the things I always said to people was, like, just imagine if we could all talk to each other, how far we would come and how much better AI would be. Like, if Tesla and DeepMind worked together on a project, it would be crazy, right? But then they wouldn't make as much profit or whatever boss wouldn't have the ego. And so it's just unfortunate that it requires collaboration to do something so good. But at the same time, as things move out of academia into industry, there's only collaboration within one company, and people don't work together anymore outside of those things. And so, like, just imagine how good the bot would be if DeepMind and Samsung and Facebook could all work together on a bot, right? But that would never, ever happen.
Yes, I would throw in Pizza Hut as well, because that would skyrocket the project.
Especially with fast delivery, yes.
Not sponsored. So, I absolutely agree. I noticed that this is maybe more strongly of a thing in the USA, although this could be just my impression. Or let's say North America. Companies are much more protective of their stuff and much less willing to collaborate. In Europe, there are a lot more open companies who let people contribute to open source projects and work on stuff that is related to their day job. And even though that could be construed as a violation of a non-compete, they don't really enforce it if there is no direct loss from the company. I believe that in North America, people take this more seriously and strictly. Again, this is just a personal impression.
I don't know anything about that topic, so I'll just not comment.
Yeah, I'm just talking about my feelings, man. And collaboration projects would be a good idea. Although this scene is small enough that the return on those are not that big at the moment. But let's see how that changes. Okay, the next topic I have is just AID. What is the preferred and pronunciation or reference to this conference?
I don't know. Usually, if I'm talking to someone about it who doesn't know what it is, I'll say AIIDE and then say, I'm going to say AID from now on, and then I just say AID.
Yeah, we all know what you are referring to, and it's quicker, so let's do that. If someone doesn't know, can you explain what's your role in it?
So I run the StarCraft AI competition that's associated with AID. And so people submit their bots to me, and we run them and see who's the best. So we have written the software that runs the tournament and the website for that. And then we release the results, and so I organize it, essentially.
And will you present anything in the academic level on that conference?
I have a workshop paper at that conference that's presenting our results from the Prismata research, but I will be at the conference, and I'll be also giving a I usually give a presentation on the competition results themselves. And something a little new this year is that we're going to, I'm not sure if we'll get this done before the actual conference, but as part of the aid competition, we're going to run a second competition on unknown maps, just for fun.
Will it be Plasma?
I don't know what you just said.
Will it be the one of the unknown maps should be Plasma?
I don't know what that map is, but I'm definitely not going to say what maps there.
Oh, you sweet summer child. So, excuse my excessive trolling. And what I wanted to ask is, can you just tell the listeners where and when is the conference, and anyone can just join and participate, right?
So the conference details are on AIIDE.org. I can't remember the exact dates, and I don't really want to open up a browser.
Yeah, it's fine. I just post it with the podcast article.
That's fine. Yeah, but submissions have been closed for a while now. People have gotten their notifications back already, so you can no longer submit there. But I'm sure if you are willing to pay the registration fee, then anyone who does so can come along and see the conference.
So there is no limit of participating in the physical conference itself or something?
I'm sure there is, but I don't think that there's any danger of that being reached.
No danger of overcrowding, so to speak.
Well, I mean, now that we've announced this on this podcast, I'm sure registrations will spike, but we can handle it all, I assume.
Let's hope so. Okay, I don't really have anything else to announce or talk about. Just a small tidbit of information that for CIG/COG new maps are picked, which is Neo Sniper Ridge 2.0, Neo Heartbreaker Ridge, Alchemist 1.0, Great Barrier Reef 1.0, and Python 1.3. I know some of those maps, but I don't think we need to discuss anything there.
Any of those maps are bad?
I don't think so. They are tournament maps, as far as I recall.
Are they modern maps? Because I know nothing about modern Brood War.
I have no idea. And now I'm the lazy one who is not looking them up.
One question for you. You might know the answer to this, but people sort of playing in modern remaster, are the maps, can the maps from like the most up-to-date version of remaster be used in 1.161?
I might be wrong about this, but I believe that maps are made with something called SCM Draft, and they are compatible with both versions.
Okay, that's cool.
I have to look after this, and if I'm wrong, I will correct this in the post, but that is my current understanding.
Someone told me that for the unknown map competition, we should just have 5 island maps. I think that would be pretty fun.
You have the power to do that.
Maybe we'll have 1 island map. I don't know. Haven't picked them out yet. But, you know, it's kind of lame having the same maps year after year. I always get so busy and always forget to update the map pool. But I promise there'll be a new map pool, a new announced map pool for next year's competition. And we'll have new maps in the ladder as well.
Thank you very much for being here today. This has been a great discussion and great trolling opportunities. I'm merciless in that regard. I hope to see you again on the podcast, and goodbye now.
Thanks for having me. See you later.